Hi, everybody. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Leah, and on this episode, I'm giving you a quick shot of romance, but author spotlight edition. And on this spotlight, I am joined by author Dylan Allen. Dylan Allen is a Wall Street Journal and USA Today bestselling author. She's a Texas girl with a serious case of wanderlust. Dylan's travels influence her writing, and she loves being able to take her readers on adventures from the comfort and safety of their favorite reading nook. A self-proclaimed happily ever after junkie, Dylan creates stories where her characters unapologetically chase their own happy endings. When she isn't writing or reading, eating or cooking, she and her family are planning their next adventure. But welcome to the podcast, Dylan.
Rah, rah, rah. Thank you. That's nice. That's my bio. It's not so bad.
That is your bio.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for
I'm
having
doing
me.
All right.
Yes,
how's
nice
the weather
to see you.
Where you are?
It has been very temperamental. It's like, I don't know what it's like. Today it is warm. Yesterday it was warm. The day before it was a little chilly and raining. And the day before it's just every day is different. I don't know what's going on, but
yeah,
I feel like that applies to everything. So
I live outside of Pittsburgh, and I mean, the running joke is that we can have three seasons in a day.
Yeah.
And
Yeah,
it's been fairly like accurate recently.
Is that always how it's been? Is that the way the weather is there?
I mean, yes and no. Like, it depends on the season. Like, spring and fall were definitely like the most temperamental. We had a really long actual winter this year. Cause usually our winter is not wintery. Like, we
Oh, it's
have
not?
winter, but it's real like short.
Okay.
But it was like from the moment like it got, because we'll have 70 degree days in the middle of December. Like, it makes zero
Oh,
sense.
really? It's like, I ask because I grew up in Houston, and Houston is like that. The weather, we have, you know, you don't like the weather, just wait a minute, you know, is what they say
Exactly.
growing up. You know.
Well, and there are multiple days where my kids will ask me like what the weather is like. I'm like, well, currently it is 30, but the
Yeah.
high is like 60.
And
So dress for whichever you prefer.
Go to school with a jacket in the morning and have it around your waist in the afternoon.
Well, I mean, that would be if they wore jackets, but
oh, I know. What's wrong with them? I mean, I'm horrified taking my kids to school my youngest, and I make him wear a jacket. I don't give a damn. Okay. You can wear a jacket.
Well,
But so many of the kids do not because they walk to school and I bet they take them off, but it'll be like 20 degrees and they're wearing a hoodie.
Yeah. So the rule in our house is from November 1st to April 1st, my oldest has to wear pants. Like, that's the rule. I mean, because he wants to wear shorts.
Oh,
So,
I see.
like,
Mine wants to wear pants all the time.
Yeah. So November 1st to April 1st, he must wear pants with like the occasional like grandfathered in day. But then if it's below 20, he has to wear a jacket.
Okay. Well, yes. I mean,
I'm like,
hello.
If we add numbers to it, he is more likely to go with it. And so we have had decent success with that.
Okay.
But yeah.
Well, God help us anyway. Anyway, hi,
anyway,
we're talking about books. Hello, hello,
we
hello.
are. So
We are.
let's talk. What initially drew you to the romance genre as a writer?
Oh, as a writer? Oh, there, as a
Yes.
writer, there was nothing else for me that I wanted to write.
Okay.
As a writer, that's why. I thought you were going to ask me as a reader, because I read
Well,
other
you can
things.
answer as a reader too. But
I mean, as a reader, I don't know, because I've been reading romance since I was like 11. I don't know, but I will tell you what brought me back, because I read it from 11, and then you go to college, and I went to liberal arts college where, you know, good books were, you know, the things we all think of. So I didn't read romance for a long time, and I had my second child, and he was two, and I finally was like, had time to sleep again, and I subscribed, and I've always loved to read, and even when I wasn't reading romance, I loved to read my, you know, it's just my favorite thing ever since I was a small child. And so it's just such a escape. Anyway, so I was subscribed to the Oprah Book Club, because, you know, that was one of the book clubs I used to read the books that she recommended.
Right.
And I got subscribed to the newsletter. I actually opened it, and it said the top 100 romances of all time.
Okay.
Or top 100 historical, maybe. Oh, I don't remember, but I think maybe it's historical. So I started with number one. I was like, you know, I have time. I used to love these books. And the first one was Flowers from the Storm by Laura Kinsale.
Okay.
I read that and I was like, oh, I forgot. And then the second one was Lord of Scoundrels, really, which should have been number one, by Loretta Chase.
Okay.
And it's the best enemies to lovers ever. And it's historical. Her crash out is unmatched. His grovel is unmatched. And they are so perfect, Dane and Jessica. And that really hooked me on romance. And I started reading. And then I read Sylvia Day's, one of her historicals was on that list.
Okay.
She and it was called 7 Days to Sin. Older woman, younger man. Listen, I still, this is from 2014. And see, I'm still like, it's those. And then I discovered she'd written something else that wasn't historical. And that was my first contemporary, like new contemporary romance,
right.
which was Crossfire series.
Okay.
Gideon. And I was like, I
deep
di-
dive, never
I
coming
took,
back
I like
out.
Deep in, dive in. And that's all, that's the rest is history. Here I am. For real, for real. Room. And I was a blogger first. I blogged. I was a blogger. I became a blogger. Well, but not like y'all are, because sometimes I would get an arc if I wanted to read it, but I just wrote reviews about the books I read just because I was reading.
You just did it for fun.
Yeah. And because I'm a lawyer, I had a job, I was working, and you know, it was just like my fun little hobby, and everyone thought it was so cute. My, you know.
Yeah,
I had little t-shirts made, little mugs for the blog and everything. It was so cute. I went to my first signing as a blogger, and I met Kristen Ashley, and I was so nervous because she became my unicorn once I saw her. I was so nervous that I waited in the line for like 7 hours. I'm not kidding. And by the time we got to the front of the line, she was only signing one book. At the beginning of the signing, it was like she signed four. And then by the time I signed, it was only one because
she's
time
like, I'm done. Yeah.
And so I chose my one book, and I don't know why I chose that book because it wasn't even my favorite. And then I told her the wrong name. I was like, hi, my name's, and so my one Kristen Ashley signed book is signed to someone that's not my name. And I didn't realize I'd done it until I walked. I was like,
who is this person?
Is it Michelle? What the that's what I told her. I was like, hi, I'm Michelle. I think I've been talking to Michelle in line or something.
So that name was like in your head.
Yeah, it was in my head, but it wasn't my name. But I said it, and because I was so nervous. And then, so anyway, but yeah, but I love, I mean, I just, and then I got an email from Melanie Harlow, just out of the blue. And I didn't know her at all. But she was like, hey, she's like, she's like, I looked at my sales one day and I had like a spike in sales and I wanted to see what might have caused it. So I looked to see, find reviews written on that day, and I found your review. It was so good. You're such a good writer. You're a writer. You should write books. And I was like, what? I was like, no, I'm not. Or, you know, I was like, she was like, but you should. She was like, here are all the things I've learned. Here are all the resources I use to help me, you know, plot. She literally just, that's the email. You know what? I never told that story. I don't know
really?
Why. I would say Melanie Harley got me into it, but that's actually what happened. I got an email out of the blue. I didn't reach out to her. I didn't send her my review. I just, on Goodreads and
just
maybe
by
on
chance
blog. Yeah, and she just saw it, and I don't even know that it was that she concluded that my review was the one that made her sales spike, but she just liked the review, I guess. So anyway, that's how it happened. And I was like, okay, well, that's really nice, lady. Okay. But then the seed was planted, and a signing where I met Penny Reed, and she'd written this book. I'd seen her in an interview where she said she didn't write black characters or color characters of color because she was not black. And I was like, but you write men and you're not a man, you write billionaires,
right.
Not one too. So I went to the signing. I went to like confront her. I actually went and got in her line so I could tell her off and tell her that. And I did. And she was like, well, if that's what you think, you should write a book. And I was like, you know what, second person to say that. And I'm turning 40 this year, so I've always wanted to write a book. I don't really like to write, but I love to read. I love stories. I don't like the physical act of writing. In law school, legal writing was my least favorite thing ever. I mean, ever. And so I was like, why not? I'm gonna do this. I'm turning 40. I have like I'm born on Valentine's Day. My birthday is on Valentine's Day. And I was like, I'm going to release my first book on Valentine's Day, on my 40th birthday. It's, you know, so that's what I did. It was just for that. But Penny help me, Melanie, help me. I was already friends with Kennedy Ryan at the time. We were friends already because I met her as a blogger, and then we just became friends because we're not that there weren't that many Black women in this space, you know. Right. And then when I started writing, she was also very, very supportive, helping me reading, giving me advice. And so yeah, that's how that's so romance is my, from the time I was 11 until now I'm 48, has been where my, just sort of my reader story happy places, reader writer happy place. And I try to write, and I will write other things, but they will always have a romance in them, and they will always have a satisfying ending.
Right.
Not necessarily, you know, if it's not romance, it doesn't have to be happy, but it has to be satisfying. And I think that's the power of romance, is that satisfaction at the end. Yes.
So it's been quite a journey, like, as an author, like, to get your start. So, but what is your favorite thing about being an author?
It's this, having conversations with my readers. I love to talk, and I love to listen. I love to meet people. I think meeting the readers I've met, the people I've gotten a chance to know because I've written books, are some of the most extraordinary people I've ever met. And I don't know that I would have met them if it was not for this. And so, and that includes my readers. I know, the authors as well, but some of my readers are just incredible women doing incredible things, who are also finding their place in this industry via the love of books, coming from other careers, you know, coming from incredible backgrounds, amazing talent, really, really just, and I'm always so honored that they read my books, you know, because, you know, for a long time, I have really bad imposter syndrome. I mean, and until very recently, and I don't want to say I don't have it anymore, but I just have it under control. I understand, you know, that it's not the truth, you know, but for a long time, I just felt like, because I don't know, I still have lots I'd like to do, but I think I've had a pretty successful run at it, given how hard it is and how rare it is for authors to find a career and to make a living. I know that there are more of us doing that than ever, but it's still such a slim percentage of the people. And the thing is, there's so many amazingly talented authors who are like, people will never know because there's just so many books, and marketing is so expensive, and so publishing in general is such a, you know, like, racist, misogynistic space. And so it's visibility is hard. So the fact that me, a Black woman, an immigrant, you know, a overweight woman, a, you know, like, I'm not rich. I'm also very, like, I'm very fortunate that I have the career I had, that I'm a lawyer, my husband is a professional, you know, I have all sorts of reasons why I've been able to do this, because it does really require money and space and time to create. And not everybody has, that's a luxury. See it as one. And so whenever I see authors struggling and feeling bad because they're not making it, I just want to, like, I'd like to tell my story and be really honest about where I am, because I think it's so easy to feel like it's you, it's your books, it's not, they're not good, and believe that the people who succeeded have succeeded because their books are just amazing. And it is time, yes, they are, for the most part, but it's also timing and money, and just also, like, the energy of success, you know. I mean, if you don't think you're going to succeed, no one else is going to think that either. And you're going and that thought is going to order your steps. And I say that because it ordered mine for years, you know? Because it's just so, because, you know, it's hard. This is a hard job. I wouldn't do anything else.
Yeah. It's funny, because I always go, like, Alona Meyer has been, like, a big boom in, like, women's, like, everything recently. And she's such a positive, like, person. And I was watching an interview with her, and she, like, the interviewer asked her, like, about imposter syndrome. And she's like, I don't have that. She's like, because I worked really hard
Yeah.
to get where I am and I
Yeah.
deserve what I have like gotten
Right,
because
right,
I
right.
made the effort and
Right.
I like did the work. And I thought that was
Yes.
such a profound thing to say
Yes.
because
I
so
don't have
many
it.
people like
Yeah.
experience that. But it's like you do put the work in and everything that you've gotten, you have earned because of the work that you put
Well, it's
in.
because every, 'cause people are not, I think that one thing I know is that we all need affirmation. You know, we need to hear that from we because it, you know, the negative voices in our head are, if
Never
you
go
know,
away.
nothing disrupts them, they just kind of grow, right? And they're normal. I mean, it's our, we're human, we're afraid, we're, you know, we care, we don't want to be embarrassed, we don't want to be rejected. I mean, whatever. But the way imposter syndrome makes you feel like you don't, that you got here somehow by accident. And it's, and it takes a, and it feels that way because people make you feel that way, you know? I mean, there's an author I'm friends with and I love her, and I love her. And so I really understood where like it was coming from. But she said to me, you know, if the only reason your book sells so much better than mine is just because your name, like if your name was on my books, it's, and I was just like there's a people believe that, people really think that there's just some, that it's popularity or it's visibility. It's, I mean, if that was true, I would be a New York Times bestseller, right? If that, I'm very visible. I don't sell as many books as you see me, right? And I, but she said it because she was, it's, that's what it, in a moment of just like frustration, because you've worked so hard, you've done everything in your book, it feels like you have. But, you know, you have this, this is a job where you have to be open to changing your mind, to being, to accepting that you were wrong about something and not taking it personally, about your art or about the way you view your art, because you're not selling it to yourself.
I mean, I think there's some truth to that in the sense where it's like a name does sell books, but it has taken a long time for that name to sell those books. Like, there is the rare occasion where an author comes out with a book and it sells like fantastically the first time around,
Yeah.
and they have like
Yeah.
amazing success after that. But
Yeah.
it most like 9 times out of 10, to get to the point where that name sells the book, there has been years of hard work behind it.
Absolutely. And it's also, and you know, and it's also, but I also now know that it's not just that. It's also, I write really good books. I work
You
very
do.
hard to make them good. I mean, I'm not, I don't, you know, I think, you know, I have a way with words. I read a lot, so I have a good vocabulary and a very vivid imagination. But my books, at the end of the day, like, I rewrite them. I rewrite every single word, I don't know how many times. And it's just because I, the first draft, the second draft, the third draft, it's just never, it's just my, it's how I get the story into shape. And so, and a lot of people don't do that. A lot of people write one draft, send it to their copy editor, and which is fine, and their books, but I don't write the kind of stories where I can do that, because I write very plot heavy, like, and I'm also dyslexic. I have an attention deficit disorder, so I am, and I also, because I know the story so well, I'm notorious for like writing a story, sending it to my betas, and literally the scene where, you know, she forgives him is missing because it was in my head, and I thought, you know, it's like, so
Like you
I
did it, but you didn't actually do it.
didn't write it. I knew, I thought it, and I knew it was happening, and I wrote, you know, I, but I just like, that happened lots. That's just one example, and I don't know the right, but there's so many. So it's a process. I have a developmental editor who reads the first, like she read this book, the book I'm writing now. I think I sent it to her in, I don't know, September or something. And, you know, so it's been a while. Like, it takes a, it's a process, and I get it
It's a
back, and there
process.
are about 3,000 comments in it. I'm not kidding. And it is, you know, a complete, you know, it's, it, but it, but I just, it's her telling me like how, what the story it says to her, what's, you know, so it's really just the beginning, but that's just what I've chosen to write. Those are the kinds of stories. Rivers Wild is not as complicated.
Are you sure about that one?
Girl,
it's
have you
a
read my other
messy,
book?
chaotic,
You have not, that's because you
delightful
haven't read my
place
other.
to be.
You need to read my my Temptation trilogy. Is so messy and crazy. That book broke my mind, actually. That story and the one I'm writing now is probably going to as well. I don't know why I do this to myself. I told my husband last night, I was like, next time you hear me talking about a story that has like three different time frames and, you know, stretches all the time and has is complete. Remind me of this moment. Remind me that I told you.
And then you'll be like, it's all right. I got it. Don't
but,
you worry.
But you know, the thing is, like, anyway, I don't want to talk over. I don't want to not get to your questions because I mean, you have some good
No,
ones.
you're fine. This is fine. I
Okay, great.
love, like,
Okay.
this is what I love
Okay,
about
great.
these
Okay, all right.
interviews
Oh,
is
that's
like,
good. Okay,
no,
good.
I
Okay,
write
good.
the questions, but I don't care if we actually get to
But
them.
they, but they, but a lot of the, I read them and they are sort of in my mind because I was just thinking about, there was a question you asked about my, you know, the process and about what draws me to a story. And it's always, I mean, it's always the people that start me off. It's always the people. It's just like, what would happen if, but normally it's like this person, I met someone who's had this experience and in real life, it really sucked. But I'm going to write this person and give them happily ever after. Like that's usually what motivates me is I see something terrible on TV or I talk to someone who tells me they're having this experience. And then I'm just like, well, how could we make this right? How could we make this person? And that's really it. And I write, that's why every book is so different. Cause it's always some wound I'm trying to heal, a different one. But I love drama. I love drama and I love, you know, telenovela. You said that's Rivers Wild.
Well, because when we did a quick or a sip and discuss on with the one Rivers Wild book, and like
I listened.
We were like, it's so messy. Does she love a soap opera or a telenovela? Because
I grew up
totally
watching
fits.
Days of Our Lives. I grew up watching Days of Our Lives. I scheduled my college classes around the 2 p.m. airtime when I was in college. And I love soap operas and I love romances. So Rivers Wild was, it was just like I was gonna, and it still maybe when I launched it, it was gonna be like my sort of flagship series. I was gonna write one forever. And I think I will. I just haven't been back there in a minute, but I think I will. And it is, I at the time I was living in enclave kind of like that, where everything is inside. My kids' school was inside, our, you know, the dry cleaner, the, you know, the bookstore, the, everything was enclosed, but it wasn't nice. No one was nice. You know, it wasn't diverse at all. It didn't. So I was like, let me just write where I love, what I wish this was. In Texas. And I wanted to write in Texas a story that wasn't cowboys, that wasn't oil men, that wasn't a ranch, that was the Texas, the Houston I know, because Houston, besides being, you know, the third or fourth largest city in the country, is also really America's sort of melting pot. It is really the most diverse place I've lived in this country, but it's also very segregated. So I wanted to write it, you know, I wanted to create a place where everybody lives.
So it's like your perfect, like,
and
Texas
I wanted to rival
city.
Family. And that was a drama. I love rival families. Love secrets. I love family secrets because my dad does not know his father. He knows who his father was, but he didn't have a relationship with his father. And I've never known, I don't know anything about that part of my dad's family. And it's just like the whole idea of who he might be and how I might come to find out who he is has always sort of like haunted me. You know, and I mean, and I've written stories where, you know, two people meet and they fall in love and they don't know they might be related, you know, I've always been afraid of that because I do not know anybody. And so I've never dated anyone who's from the part of Ghana my grandfather was from. at all. And
okay.
Because I like, there's something about the mystery of a missing parent
mm-hmm.
and where they might be that I love. So that element makes itself in my books a lot.
Right.
And, but yeah, but that's the drama, the, you know, slaps, the guns, the, you know, the, and then it hit, Hurricane Harvey had just happened.
Right.
And my older sister lost her home.
Okay.
Just like Kara and her family, they'd had to swim out of their home and stay locked up in it, you know, so that was my sister's experience. And this, and
right.
then she lost her home, but she was, my sister's wealthy. She's, you know, she has insurance. She rebuilt, they stayed in a, you know, a really nice place while they waited for it to happen. But a lot of people, that was not the case for. And I volunteered with this organization called Emerge that helps underprivileged children, but talented underprivileged children find their way to college, usually
mm-hmm.
Ivy or, you know, baby Ivies with, you know, and we went to the Emerge luncheon right before in 2018, right before I started writing The Legacy. And this young man told a story of how during Hurricane Harvey, he and his mother died. She died not in the house, but like in a car.
Okay.
And so he and his 12-year-old sibling were stuck in their apartment, and he didn't want to call for help because he was afraid they'd be separated. And their landlord refused to fix the mold. The apartment had flooded and there was mold, and they lived like that while he was getting into Harvard, while he was going to school every day, while
uh-huh.
he was finding his way. And I was like, this fucking landlords, excuse my language, sorry.
No, you're fine. It's
I was like,
fine.
Landlords, you know, they were evicting. People were left because it flooded and they were gone for 4 days. And apparently their closets, if you're gone for 72 hours, you vacated, they'd come back and find themselves. There was all sorts of shit. So I wanted to write about that. I want, you know,
uh-huh.
And I wanted just to sort of, and I had a really hard time with The Legacy. I started writing it and I wrote 30,000 words and I just could not get past that. I was like, and I spent a whole day on the phone with my friend Lucy Score. She spent 3 hours with me on the phone in my parent. I went to my parents' house, locked myself up in my childhood bedroom. I was desperate trying to figure out why. And we tried. And then I had to just throw those first 30,000 words away.
Okay.
And so because I realized I was just writing a romance, which is fine. But as a writer, I have to care. Like, why do I care about these people? What are they doing here? What is happening that matters, that makes it so I'm going to sit down and write a story about them.
Right.
And so, and I didn't know that. I didn't realize that was important to me until I wrote The Legacy, because it was the first time I'd really sort of like tried to plan a series. Right. And
mm-hmm.
So I planned it thinking just about the romance, the tropes. Because before I was just writing what I felt like, you know,
right.
And those books were great, but I wanted to make money. And I was like, so I, and then I realized I have to care about these people. They have to be doing something with their lives that matters to me as a storyteller. And yeah, Hayes is a billionaire, but he cannot be the kind, like just a rich guy walking around. And I also, you know, I wanted to, you know, his wound, I like to show people, because I don't know billionaires, but I know a lot of rich people, and money does not make you happy.
No,
and I think, and I wanted
not.
To show this man who had everything and yet love the thing, you know, was like not, that he
it was elusive.
Know, if he had not met confidence, he might have ended up alone, you know. And I think a lot of people end up alone. A lot of wealthy people end up divorced. Even, you know, I don't have to look at the billionaires we do know. I mean, you know, so
yeah.
We know of. So I had to care about him too, and I had to give him. He had to be about something more than just money, and so I really. And that's, you know, so when I got there, when I figured them out, that I wrote that book in 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote
so once you like got over that hump, like the words just flew.
That's it. That's always the case. That's always the case. Like once I know why I care and what I am, like what I'm healing, that's it. You know, then I can, and then I can make them happy. Then I know what they need. I know how to bring joy to the story. I know the kind of joy they need. And the legacy, my best friend got married in that very same villa in Italy.
Uh-huh.
I went to her wedding and it, I mean, it was a very, there was lots of spicy stuff happening. I was like, this is clearly where the hookups happen. So I No, and hookups and drama and all this. So I came back and I almost fell down that cliff like confidence did. So I was like, I'm like that. No one came rescue. There was no haste to pull me up. But I was like, you know what?
But what if there was a haze
There
to come pull
was. And
me
what,
up?
you know, and so I just, yeah, I love misunderstandings. I love opposite people from opposite worlds who are like so different but perfect for each other. Yeah.
Well, and you add like this gritty underbelly almost of chaos to your stories. 'Cause
Like
like
what?
you, well, in like the legacy, you weren't afraid for confidence to like really show him like what he was missing. The fact that like there is, and they're very truthful, like there is this whole side of things that you don't like, people don't pay attention to because they've never been shown the
Yeah.
negative side. It's like, in traumas and tragedies, there's so much bad that comes out of it, but a lot, but people don't want to see that. So
Yeah.
they like they put their blinders on and they just
Yeah.
keep going. It's like they say
Yeah.
they're helping, and I'm air quoting now. They say they're helping, but they're not actually helping. And so
No.
like she was like, you need to do better. Like
Yes.
truly see like what's going on. It's like that gritty truth that he didn't want
Yes.
to acknowledge.
Yes. Yeah. And also, like, you know, the thing with her and Hayes, the thing with her, she had a chip on her shoulder, and I didn't want to like make, because you know she's a human, so of course she does, right? And but I also, and she and I felt, I have felt that way where you want to forgive someone and you can't, you know, like you want to, but you just, and you realize it's not them, it's you. Like there's something in you that is hurt by this, you know, the thing he did to her hurt her, but it was like, it was just a, it was because it affirmed a really negative thought she had about herself that she's been working very hard to like, to, you know,
To
to get
move past
over.
that.
And I wanted her to, one, to not, to keep on her course of believing that about her, believing that she was not, you know, she was good enough to be where she was. And also to demonstrate that Hayes won, the he was rich because he was born to it. Like, and yet look at them. They were in the same place at the same time, right? And I want, and I, so, 'cause I want to show, like, I don't know, that is, I feel like that's the story of my life, is that, you know, and that's the dream of America and the immigrant, sort of like the immigrant's dream, is that you can, if you work hard enough, you can get where you're going. And so confidence wasn't an immigrant, but that spirit is what drove her. She's you know, she, and she's in ways, I mean, she leaves home and goes out into the world, and a home that is so small, you know, compared to, and she doesn't do it by herself. You know, her community kind of lifts her up, and her, she's, you know, a lot of tragedy, but it's not, it's what happened. That's life. That's not novel. It's, I don't think that is dramatic. I think that part of her life is so real. It's so real for so many people. And so is someone like her overcoming those circumstances.
Well, and it really shows like you can come up in a trauma-filled life, but it's what you do and how you manifest that trauma that is going to like show your future. And that's the thing. It's like, yes, like Hayes, like he grew up with a silver spoon. He had that edge from the get-go, but she did not. I mean, first off, she did not allow that like side of him to like affect her. And she's like, you have this ability to do this. Like, why are you not making the right choices here? I grew up with nothing and see what I'm capable of. It's like, you have the capabilities to do more, but so do I.
And you know, I think its legacy is great, but right now is real. You
It
know,
is.
and I think that is the lesson. Well, it's, you know, it's one of the things that, you know, I think I thought about as I was writing it, was that, you know, right now matters. Like, you know, and money is nice because it gives you comfort and, you know, security and a roof over your head. And who doesn't want to have a nice roof over your head? But also, like, how can you be rich when everyone else around you is broke? Like, how can you live
Yeah.
in this mansion and everybody, you know, that's not, you're only as, you know, that's not it. That's actually a line from a Jay-Z and Beyonce song on the Carter album. And
Yeah.
he's like, you know, and I loved it so much, and I wrote it down, and I say it all the time. Like, how can you be rich when you're only as, you know, when everybody else around you is broke? It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Well,
Yeah.
and that the thing is, like, your richness, like, it also affects the people that you're with. Like,
Yeah.
do you have a rich life just because you have money, or do you have a rich life because of the people that are in your
Thank you.
life?
Yes. And that's it. Different kind of rich. Yeah, different kind of rich. Yeah. No, I agree. And that's the point. That's the point, is that no matter whether you're a billionaire or you're a model or you're a journalist or you're a lawyer, whatever, you know, life is really about the people you share it with. And I feel like that's the other thing, is that my characters are always motivated to get their lives together because of the person they meet who inspires them to do that, who shows them a different way, or holds up a mirror that's clearer than the one they've been looking at their whole life, that really lets them see themselves in a light that is, and that's in a light that's in a light that is affirming of the good things, of their strengths. And that's also who I am as a person, I think, too. I'm really good at building people up, developing people's strengths. And I'm also a really good people connector. Yeah, I'm a really good, those are the things I'm good at. And I like to use that when I'm writing, because, you know, I love it's and because I don't know that a lot of people are good at that. I've learned that, and especially in this community, how I do something that I'm like, this is nothing. This, you know, send someone a message, and they the out the way they respond, it makes it clear to me that people are not used to kindness for no reason, or like just and I and that makes me so I do more of it, because when I realize that, because I am, you know, I mean, I my relationships are very loving. I have I do it a lot more, because I hope that it will inspire others to just think about it. You know, I don't know that people are just unkind. I think, you know, we just move through our day and don't stop and think about each other. But yeah, I like to write nice people. I don't write bad guys, like, who are, I just can't. I've tried, because I know people like bad guys, but I just can't. They have to be nice
Well,
enough.
and I mean, they have, they're flawed, like, they're very
But they're human,
flawed.
but they're not, they're like, they, you know, they're
But
not.
they're inherently good. Like, whether or not they make a bad decision here or there or act
Yes.
poorly, like, but they are inherently good. So with the boom of the romanticy, because we definitely have gotten a lot more of that, is there a bucket list subgenre or story that you want to write?
Yeah, oh my gosh. I do. I'd love, I mean, if I could get my druthers together and write a vampire. Let me think about this, because I want to
Okay.
say it, because I want to do it, like a set in Baltimore,
Okay.
because
Why
Baltimore,
Baltimore?
well, I live here, and
Okay.
it is so gothic and
Yeah.
so old and
I love
so rich in
Baltimore.
history.
It's so pretty.
I love it. It's beautiful, but it's like, it's old, it's got history. Like, the history is just like in the street. You can feel it. And I feel like it'd be a wonderful place to set, where,
There's like an essence to it.
yeah. But I want to make I want to vampires I've seen vampires, but it's more about their immortality
Okay.
and a veil. Like, so there's a world almost like a mirror. Yeah, I would love that. If I could, I just don't know. I don't know. I feel like I don't know. I've been talking about this for years. Yeah. I would love to write fantasy. I'd love to write historical. But I probably won't, because I just love to read it too much. And if I had to choose, I feel like I want to write stories only I can tell, right? Like, that my lived experience makes, so that, you know, only I can write this book. And I'm, and so that's sort of my mission right now. As I think of the stories that I'm, you know, the stories that come to me, I'm picking the ones that are not just like, oh, this is fun, but, and they are all fun because they have to be fun. But it also is like, and this is, I'm the best person to tell this story.
Right. But it really speaks to you as you're writing it as well.
Yeah, because I think that's my, that's our goal, all of us. But for me, I, you know, speak for myself. My goal is my most authentic version, the most authentic version of me is where I always find success, friendship, joy, love, you know, like safety, so creativity, inspiration. So yes, so yeah.
So out of all your stories that you've written, do you have a favorite hero or heroine? Or is it like when people say, do you have a favorite child? It's like, it depends on the day, which kid I like.
Yeah, I mean, it does. It depends on how I'm feeling. But I don't know. They're all so different. And yet they're all like the same. I don't think so. I mean, if I had to marry one of them, I feel like it would be Hayes.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he is the least troubled. I feel like
he's the least troubled.
He really is. I mean, Remy will have mom issues because, you know, he and his mom's relationship never really is fixed. So, fulfilled. Like, that's going to be, you know, he's going to have it.
And I do like me some Remy, though.
I do. I love Remy. Listen, you know what? Forever on Netflix. Are you watching it?
Mm-mm.
Oh my God, please watch it. It's the number one show right now. It is okay. A young adult. But when you watch it, tell me if you agree. I don't want to say this on social media because I feel like people would be like, what's she talking about? But it is so, it feels like Remy and Cal so much. It's a teenage love story that feels like, as I was watching it, I was like, it's a fan, like, you know, he's rich. She's from the other, you know, she's not poor, but she's not.
The other side of the tracks.
And she has a little thing in her past that, you know, makes her kind of an outcast and like, but their love story is so.
I'll have to check it out.
Listen, you're going to.
I don't watch a lot of TV because when I do have time, commandeered by other people in my house.
Just watch the first episode because it's okay. Like, it's so not, I didn't, it took me a long time to watch it because I haven't seen people talk about it, but it's young adults. So I was like, I'm not. But it's just so, it's what I love, which is people who just meet each other, right place, right time, you know, and the connection. I love people who are star-crossed lovers. I love that. Yeah. I love it so much. And I'm an Insta-lust writer because for me, like, there can't be a moment, even if you don't act on it, there can't be a moment where you look at your soulmate and don't think, wow, you know? So even if, you know, they may not, it may take a while for them to get there, but I always, cause I love it. And I love, so forever, just.
Okay, I'll have to check
it
out.
Title. I love the title. I love.
I do like that title. Forever. It's very catchy and you remember
forever.
It too.
I love the word forever.
So what's next for you?
I am currently working on a secret project, a secret just because it hasn't been announced yet, but it will be announced soon because I will be done soon. And it's a romantic suspense. It's going to be my first traditional release. And then it's going to be this year. And then I have another book I started writing last year, which is a Rivers Wild book. The Rivers Wild, I think, is after this last iteration is going to have to leave Texas.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, so, but it'll leave, it'll be, you know, there'll be another, you know, another enclave. Yeah. And we'll always have the same background of character. I write Hayes. I mean, I write him in every Rivers Wild book, I think.
Right.
And the Jezebel, I even gave him his own point of view. That's how, you know, I gave him his own point of view chapter because I just wanted to because I love him anyway. But yeah, no, I'm writing romance. I'm writing, and I have a women's fiction that I would like to pitch that I'm working on as well. And I want to live long enough to tell all the stories that are in my head and to write them all. And that's it. I mean, I am not doing a lot of signings this year, at least not right now. And if I do, they'll be local as I, prepared for the book I'm going to release this year. So yeah, but that's it. I mean, I'm writing, and I'm trying to find an assistant because I need to have a lot of other things that I need to do besides writing, and I don't have time. So but I have assistant hire PTSD. Is that a thing? Like, I'm
I
afraid to,
mean,
because I've had
it's fair.
so many
You've had bad
great
luck.
experiences, but I have to get over it because it's detrimental to the to my so.
Well, thank you so
Oh my
much
God,
for
thank you. I've
coming
talked so
and
much.
chatting. It has been a blast. I've loved
Oh.
listening to like your process and how you come with your characters.
It's very chaotic. I mean, but it's so, it's a, thank you very much for having me. I love talking about books and writing and life and stories, and because to me it's all kind of the same. So, and thank you for having me on. Thank you for reading The Legacy. I was so excited when I heard y'all talking about it, and it was just like not that long ago. And I thought this book is 7 years old, and it is still like finding readers who like it now. And so I really want to, I mean, I'm I want to, that's why I need a PA, because I want to start promoting it properly so I can find new readers and,
Well, I think especially like with the way things are, I think it now is the time where it's gonna start getting a little more traction again.
Oh, you think so?
I think so. I
Why? Oh.
feel I feel good thing because honestly, family sagas are really like
Popular.
coming back. So
Okay. That's all, girl.
I
That's all
think
I write. So,
now
I
is the
mean, that was,
time.
oh my God, it's finally my time to shine. Come on, let's go. That's all I write. For real, everything is, that's, that's it. I love
I
it.
think like family sagas are really starting to have their heyday again. But
Okay.
I
I
think
need.
it's kind of like that resurgence of, because you'd figure everything kind of circles around. Like there's always like I mean, 80s fashion was back for a while, which I don't know why that ever came back, but
Why?
well, it was bad the first
It
time.
was. I mean, and I was an 80s kid. I was in my Guess overalls and head shoes, but oh my word. Yeah, no, my Jabot jeans.
But
Anyway,
yeah,
okay.
things always recircle. But
They
thank you
do.
so much. And until next time, happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.